Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster, so glad to be joining you today. Big shout out to Christian Television Network across the nation. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We are going to talk to you today about some now things. What kind of sets, we believe, us apart, and why we believe the Lord's called us to be here on Christian Television Network as we are, is, and by the way, which he did, is so we can talk to you about now. You know, the Lord says, "Not my name's not I was or I will be."
Right.
And Moses is saying, "Well, what do I tell them? You tell them that I am, right?"
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's like, can you expound on that a little bit? I'll tell you in the wilderness. Just go tell them I am. I got some things I'm gonna do. And then he says, "You know, I'm your ever-present help in time of trouble." And so many people need help for today, so they're using yesterday's wisdom, trying to grab a hold of figure out today, and it doesn't work. It would have worked yesterday, but you didn't hear it because it was pre-recorded. But now we're coming to you live on Christian Television Network and VFN TV Daily Radio Program across the world, and that's the reason why it's a very, you know, it's a now. And when you talk about Rhema, what was so awesome about Rhema word, and you know, Samuel lived in Rhema, correct?
Yeah.
That there was a now word, not one word dropped. And what we do is we spend time with God on a daily basis. We try to spend time continually in Him, when we have for quite some time, in the hopes that He would share His heart to us. And then He told us, this is what He said, this is why we're here. He said, "What I whispered in your ear, I want you to shout it from the rooftops. I want you to let everybody know what I said." And that's just kind of how He does things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as I was, you know, kind of seeing how some other seasons had started, I realized that CBN with Pat Robinson, that's exactly what the Lord told him years ago.
Wow.
And that's what started what we know as today's Christian Broadcasting Network. But God told him, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at Paul Crouch, who has turned over his ministry now to his son, but he started Trinity Broadcasting Network, and there was a couple phases that God showed him, but one phase was God showed him satellites. He was in his office, and he saw these satellites, and then he just went for it. And it's kind of a convergence of those who walked in before us into this culture, this generation, because there is a whole new level of technology and innovativeness. I mean, talking about the Gutenberg printing press, I mean, this is amazing what's happening. So we're here not so to entertain you, although when we do share about some of our humiliating moments, we are hearing people are enjoying those, you know. But, you know, it's a conversation. We have nothing to fear. You know what I'm saying? We're called to enjoy this journey. You know, God is our God. And so, but we tell truth. We have a fear of the Lord as we do it. But we refuse to have a frown on our face. We're going to say, word of God says, there they were with all this dread, with nothing to dread at all. The truth is just an opportunity for you to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole life is not weighing in the balance if you don't respond. Right. Your life is laying in the balance. That's why we can enjoy the journey. And if you do respond, you're actually enjoying it with us. So today, we're going to be talking about, I don't know if we're going to get fully to it, but the simple little statement that began the whole fall of man was a very simple statement that said, "Did God say that?" Did God say that? I mean, it's all it was, a simple statement.
Mm. Wow.
Did God say that? And that was just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be talking to you about 400 or 500. No, I'm going to talk to you. Everywhere you look today, there's a whole bunch of, did God really say that? Did God say that? I mean, there's so many of them. You have plenty of opportunities. There's no way that you can dog out Eve because I was asked one question. I mean, look at all the things around us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when she began to have that conversation about, Lucifer's theologian, let me have a conversation with you. I mean, that led to her with apple all over her face, apple over her husband's face, and being hit in the rumpus with the sword of God to being kicked out of a garden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. So it does matter if somebody starts talking to you about it. I mean, nobody like Lucifer is going to go, the deceiver, Hey, I'm not, hey, I'm all for you, you know, I'm just totally good. But did he really say that? That's just as evil as somebody going, he didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse because now you're deceived. You're going to start talking to him. And since 81% of the church don't even pick up the Bible, you know, it's you're easily more easily deceived, you know, in the context of that. So we're going to talk about that. It's very important. Don't take lightly what you're hearing in stereo now in America, everywhere around you. And this is what you're hearing is not only God didn't say that or did God say that, but they're coming out right now and saying he just did. That's not God. I mean, people are, there's a day you could say, well, you know, you don't want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You don't want anything to do with God. I can honor that. Let's just go ahead and we'll just move on. I'm going to live for God. I'm not expecting you to live for God.
Mm-hmm.
But today they say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm living for God. And for you to say, that's what God says, you're making me look bad. And then they go, you're evil. And I was like, how did this happen? It happened with this statement. Did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get in the Word of God, if you don't stay tuned and listen and go back and just soak in what God says, you're going to be easily deceived. And even Adam and Eve just walked with the Word, walked with God himself. And you know that, you know, we're walking amongst flawed men, and including us, and we got to be very, very careful. That's why we're so reliant and dependent on the Word of God and reading the Word of God. Secondly, I want to talk about today is the Second Amendment, a simple statement that is very powerful. Heroes die too. Heroes die too. Wisdom in regards to the Second Amendment and guns. So many people are hyped up about, you know, I have the right to. It's like, yeah, you know, we have a right to a lot of things. You know, everything might be illegal, but that doesn't mean everything's beneficial. I'm going to talk about, you know, that the hero complex and the, you know, whatever your intellectual level was on Monday, when you bought your gun on Tuesday, you're just as intellectual as you were on Monday. You didn't get smarter.
That's right.
Ever how strong or weak you were on Monday, when you bought your gun on Tuesday, you didn't get any stronger or you didn't get any weaker. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And ever how wise or ignorant you were on Monday, just because you went and bought you a 357 or a 380 or a 12-gauge shotgun, you're not any wiser than you were the day before.
That's right.
Now, if you're falling to this whole, you know, a hero complex, and now you're stronger because you got a gun, you're dangerous. You're very dangerous, because a coward without a gun is not as bad as a coward with a gun, because they're the ones that end up shooting folks. But I'm going to talk about this particular thing, because everybody, this hero complex going on right now, everybody thinks you're going to pull out your gun like Zorro or somebody pulls out a sword, and you're going to save the world. But you know what you look like when you pull out your gun in a crowd? You look like a terrorist, and they're going to take you out. Because who are you? I know that you're you're just something to yourself, but to everybody else in that mall that you think you're going to rescue, when somebody says bad guy, guess what they're looking at? You with a gun. And guess what you look like? A bad guy. Guess who you're about to see? Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason why they have everybody in that mall, law enforcement has everybody in that mall come out with their hands up. They're not being mean. They don't know who the bad guy is yet. And just because you can legally possess a gun doesn't mean you're not possessed. And so we're going to be talking about it. We got to have this wisdom. We got to have this conversation, because a lot of people run into the Second Amendment like that's their God. God's God. And his wisdom will help you. And you didn't get any smarter. You didn't get any braver. If you were terrified when you bought the gun, now you're terrified with the gun, and now we're terrified of you.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about how to get wisdom in regards to that. And just because it's legal doesn't mean necessarily it's wise. You pull it out, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But hopefully it's going to help a lot of folks, you know. You were hiding behind a wall. Now you're hiding behind a piece of steel, but, you know. And I'm going to talk to you about what a lot of officers find out in their career is that just because you pull the trigger doesn't mean the gun goes off. And that would terrify a coward. And then you get beat with your own butt of your own gun. If not, the next shot going off would be on you. But an officer who's been trained and has wise, they know what to do. And so we're going to talk about all that, or a soldier. And then I want to talk about Alan Barton. What a man. Wall Builders. Yeah. And he's been spending a previous week with Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He's given us the Heritage Series to be able to use, to be able to help people know about the Founding Fathers' original tent, the Founding Fathers' Bibles, and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Just recently, they were wanting him to run for state senate.
Yeah, no. He was smart.
He was smart.
He was smart.
So God didn't tell me to do that.
Yeah, he's doing more for the Senate, because we're going to talk about that mm-hmm. today, about how praying for those in authority over you is not just praying for your immediate surroundings, and also you got to pray for those who are surrounding your authority, because of, for example, when you're praying for your congressperson, which is your senator or your representative, for example, and you ask them this question, you know, how many bills, and a bill is, if you haven't yet heard this, and hopefully it's a related article, a little cartoon that, you know, says, I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and it'll in a humorous way show you what I'm talking about. And so you ask the question to a person, a pastor or someone, and this is what we'll be talking about, and Alan Barton will be talking about, is how many bills did your congressperson see this session of Congress? And normally they'll say 10, 11, 12, because that's what they heard. They heard about the media talk about 10 or 12, and they said, no, actually it was 10 to 13,000 bills. Mm-hmm. 10 to 13,000 bills, with the average bill having 2,500 pages to it. I mean, we do tons of reading for this program.
Wow.
Tons of reading for this program. But understand, 10 to 13,000 bills that people are wanting to become a law, that we're expecting that congressperson, Senate or House representative person to read it. When they said, you know, you don't read it, they have a staff that reads it.
Mm.
And so they're depending on the staff to read it. And we're going to talk about that. Don't just pray for your congresswoman or congressman. You got to begin to know by name who their staff is, because they're going to go through that bill and they're going to look for something that has to do with pro-life, and they're going to point it out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also going to talk about, they put little sneaky lines in those 2,500 pages that says, remove In God We Trust off the coins.
Mm.
And so they vote for this bill that has talks about Jesus or something, but in one small line written backwards, no, it's just in there, it says, and what's this? We need room on the coin, so let's go ahead and remove In God We Trust off of there. So that we're dependent, they're dependent on their staff to read every word, every noun, every line of those 2,500 pages of that one bill, the 10,000, 13,000 bills that come to their office. And we're not even praying for them. We're not even thinking that's a legitimate ministry.
Mm.
And so we'll be talking about, not only do we need to pray for them, we need to know who your congressperson's staff is. You need to know their faces. You need to pray for them by name, because they're going through a ton of stuff, and they need to be able to identify the needle in the haystack. And with that, you know, God will speak. He knows how to get a message to them. And then you need to pray about, hey, maybe I need to be a staff person and help. You know, I wouldn't be good at reading 25,000 pages, 10,000 bills. Like, can I get a secretary here? And then and one last thing before we go to break here, we were talking about universities. We're going to pray for those in authority over the universities, because we're sending our kids there.
Mm.
Did you know the 71 to 81% of Christians going to secular colleges will renounce their faith when they go?
Wow.
And 50% of Christians going to Christian colleges will renounce their faith. We have a lot to talk about today. Join us on VFN Radio on VFN TV. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are prayer clubs lawful in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Calling concerning my daughter. She's a freshman at Hale Christian High School.
All right.
And the school has formed a club of homosexual and lesbian, and also a Harry Potter club.
Okay.
And she wanted to know if she could form a prayer club and what was her rights on that.
Okay, she can under the Equal Access Act, the same act that gives these other clubs the right to meet, really also protect religious clubs. I took that case to the Supreme Court in 1990. We won in an 8-1 decision. You go to aclj.org on the website. You can get information there, but I'm also going to put you online. We'll get you in touch with our legal staff. We'll walk you right through the process, and the answer is yes. So you hang on the line. We'll get you some help right away.
Find an affiliate, subscribe to our podcast, or listen online to our half-hour radio program, Jay Sekulow Live, every weekday at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. I just want to talk, start our conversation now about the U.S. Constitution. You know, as Christians, we're talking about our founding fathers and our constitutional right and First Amendment, the Bill of Civil Rights, and we have the right to do this and we have a right to do that. But you're also hearing people talk about the Second Amendment with such aggression. I mean, of all the amendments that we probably shouldn't talk about with such aggression, probably should be the Second Amendment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because aggression and the Second Amendment together is kind of freaky. I mean, yeah, we'd have time to talk about it. Probably it's a related article with Rick Joyner talking about we have people to fear on the right and the left.
That's right.
And I believe he talks about that, the wisdom of martial law to be able to protect the people that are normal in the middle, because it's just meant to be a place of liberty and peace. And to talk about the Second Amendment in a way that's aggressive, it's just like, that doesn't go together. It's like an officer showing up at your house to see if you're okay, and they're yelling at you. It's right. Just like, you don't belong in this job. You know, right. Something eerily wrong about this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he has a gun or she has a gun, they need to be calm and relaxed and wisdom and that type of thing. And so what is the Second Amendment? The Second Amendment to the Bill of Civil Rights, which was eradicated in 1791. Thanks,
correct.
John. I appreciate
you
that.
Got it,
man. Says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. In other words, if we're going to keep our freedom, we have to understand how to weapons. And we need to know wisdom on how to use them in the context of the law and how to use them. And I mean, think about it. Every single day, you're in America, in some communities, I can see some folks thinking not. I mean, in Detroit right now, they have billboards up, and their billboards say, thou shalt not kill. Because so many people are being killed because progressivism has come in and just smashed that town. Thank you, unions. That was so beautiful.
Wow.
That was just really beautiful how you overcharged us for cars for years. And now look, you left them there. And you know, we just pray right now for Detroit and all of our listeners in Detroit and viewers that now that the light would come in and just restructure that place from top down. And so it's important in regards to how you see how how you see guns and how you see weapons. And I see Christians that are, you're talking about Jesus loves you, this I know, and their next statement is, you better get yourself a gun. I'm like, Jiminy Cricket. First of all, we're not scared to die.
Right.
But yet guns aren't bad because when we call the police to come to our house, we expect them to have one.
Yeah,
that's right. One that works.
Yeah, and even our very president, you know, we expect him to be protected by the Secret Service who has guns. It would be kind of silly for them to have, like, squirt guns or a little finger gestures under people's noses that you press on their noses, what the school system says. If you take your finger when somebody's biting you and you put it under their nose as they're clamping down on your skin and you push upwards, it'll cause the child to release.
Really?
I'm not going to tell you my method, but it'd be a little bit different
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't bite again. This child wouldn't bite again.
Did work, right?
Yeah, it was like instant wisdom. It hurt me worse than it hurt him. But what happens is, it's really embarrassing, but you don't see this. It's called the hero complex. This false sense of invincibility and now this stability in your life, because all of a sudden you went out and you bought yourself. And normally the smaller the bravery, the bigger the gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I mean, how big of a bullet do you need to protect yourself? Yeah, I know what you're saying right now. I bought a shotgun because I'm a bad shot, and at least they're going to go all over the place. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the hero complex and the Second Amendment, our constitutional rights to be able to bear arms. And you need it for a free society. If not, people come into your place and rob your place and that type of thing. Sometimes the government does.
Mm.
Anyway, so drawing your legal gun, which means you have a legal right, drawing your legal gun out in a crowd, for example, doesn't make you look like a hero. It makes you look like a suspect. And many have died, rightly and legally, possessing a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You're a hero complex. This is somebody that's thinking that now you're like, I'm the only one that knows. I have the secret. I have the Superman S that was on Superman shirt. It's in my back belt. You know, it's in my back pocket or whatever. I don't know wherever you got your courage. And
this T-shirt.
Yeah. And so you're thinking, you've been deceived, and thinking that you're just going to draw this thing out in the crowd, and you're going to save all those folks in there because you've been watching all those movies and playing all that PlayStation and stuff. And you know what you're going to look like? You're going to look like that man in the Navy Yards on the security camera.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a typical young man. And visually, he just looks like a normal young man.
Mm-hmm.
What's to say that he was not looking for somebody that we thought was him? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't know this. But see, understanding coming from by the way, just to let you know, I come from law enforcement experience. I'm giving you some wisdom here that a good quality, knows what he or she's doing officer sees you pull that gun out and you start firing it in the store. When they get called to that place and there's a crowd there, there's a high probability, a very high probability you're about to meet Jesus. And it's because that was not wisdom at all. I remember once there was a suicide. This man was going to attempt suicide. And, of course, they called the police out. For some reason, why do they call the police out? And he has a gun. He's in a parking lot, and he has a gun at his head.
Mm.
And there was a call the other night, as I talked about, that they said this guy was trying to commit suicide, but he had the gun at some woman's head. And like, that's not suicide. Right. That's assault. And so the police officers, when they got there, they formed a circle. They formed a circle around the suspect or the potentially going to commit suicide man. Who had the gun at his head, which means the reason why you call a police officer for several reasons, but one is they have a gun and you don't want to hurt themselves. You want to prevent that, but also you want to prevent other people in the community from getting hurt. And also as an officer, you don't get hurt, but you don't form a circle around a possible suspect that could turn from potential victim to a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden that, imagine this, now you have like a little bonfire going and the officers are warming their hands up. And the victim in the middle who's going to kill, imagine them just being in a nice campfire or something, and it's like, that's cool. But if you have a bullet that fires out of a gun, not a campfire, in the center of you, it's like Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that victim turns into a suspect and decides to do something like they call it murder by cop, where they don't want to kill themselves, but they'll point their gun at you and cause you to shoot them. So, you know, whatever, murder by cop, they call it, or they want to kill you. Then one of the officers will have to shoot. But since you're in a circle around the man, the high probability, I mean, this is in this decade, that you don't circle around the potential person that you may have to shoot, because you just know that in your training that means that somebody's in the line of fire is going to get shot. By God's grace, the man didn't. They talked him out of it, you know. But see, I mean, just logically, that says that's not smart at all.
Mm-mm.
Well, you have to understand, those officers, it was legal for them to possess their guns. They were legally right in being there on the scene. And it wouldn't be unconstitutional for these men to be able to have to take this man down and kill him if he tried to kill one of the officers or one of the citizens. But although it was legal, that didn't mean anything. That was ignorant. Forming a circle around somebody you might have to shoot because of friendly fire. What's going to happen in regards to that? I mean, I think about, you know, officers are faced day and night with a potentiality of having to maybe draw their gun and maybe shoot the gun. But I think about, you know, something like the Roy Middleton situation down in Pensacola, Florida, where they thought these two officers, not all the officers there, but these two officers, you know, say they thought they saw something shiny. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't have a gun.
Mm.
He didn't even have a gun. Second Amendment screaming, hollering, think you're going to, you know, Second Amendment's your God here. You know, all that, this hero complex. And they shot him. They shot him 15 times. And he didn't even have a gun. Imagine if he had one.
Mm.
Imagine if he had one. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program. We got to get over this hero complex. Second Amendment's not God. God is God.
Wow. My goodness. You want to join us on the other side? But before you do, make sure you check out all of our sponsors at VFNTV.com. We have all their phone numbers, web addresses, even a map where you can locate them. Listen, if you are on the Gulf Coast, we want you to call and visit AB Mobile Mechanics. They're fast, friendly, and fair. Listen, this is on-site repair.
At your home, at your office?
Anywhere you're located on the Gulf Coast. Also in Mobile, visit Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. Listen, no job is too big, no job is too small. They'll get your vehicle back in tip-top working condition. That's in Mobile, Tanner Williams Road. VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service,
mm-hmm.
and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light That's L-I-G-H-T Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We are going to be talking about and continue a conversation on the Second Amendment, the hero complex that we need to realize. We need to trust in God, not in our arms, but in our arms, not in weapons in our arms, but in our arms in the air, trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And that weapons are meant to protect and in the context of that. But also, we'll be talking today about, you know, did God say that? The beginning words that began the fall of man, and now it's being questioned on so many different levels and so much more. But I want to get right into the continued conversation about the hero complex. Mm. Heroes die too. And we're talking about, you know, what do you look like when you pull a gun out in a crowd? What do you look like in your own head? If you have a hero complex, you look like a hero. But to everybody else, they're terrified of you. And to the officer, you look like a terrorist or a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
You're the target, bro, ma'am. And so you have to understand that though the Second Amendment gives us the right to be able to bear arms, it doesn't automatically give us wisdom or intelligence. We need to gut that. We need to begin to understand that. And what I was just talking about was, you know, here is a man down in Pensacola, Florida, that is 60 years old, I guess, Roy, and he's in his own driveway at night in his own car, and two officers, not the whole department, but the officers themselves felt scared. They felt to their own words that they were scared. And he had a shiny object in his hand as he was getting out of his own car in his own drive, his own carport, and they shot him 15 times. Unarmed. And that's a whole nother story. If you have not yet heard Seeking Justice for Roy Middleton, you need to be able to hear that. But just understand that's a reality. And then it went to the state authorities, because this is like a county in that state, in the state of Florida. And the state authorities in Florida said they had the authorization to do this. And then after that, they went to the grand jury of Roy Middleton's peers, you know, people that live with you in your community down there. And they said the officers were authorized in doing this. And then the sheriff the officers worked for, he said they were authorized in doing this. And it's like, what do you think? Do you really think? I'm not talking about you having a shiny object in a crowd. I'm talking about you pulling out your little hero piece of metal and thinking you're going to go you're going to save the day. They're going to take you down. Because they don't know you. Only you know you, especially today, because nobody really knows anybody.
Yeah.
And you're a Fig Newton of your own imagination, bro. I mean, you know, you're in your own head, but people don't know you exist. A figment of your imagination, just so you know what that means. And I'm saying this because, you know, we just had a situation in America down in the Alabama area where a clerk was being robbed at gunpoint. And the reports are, the news, that the clerk had a gun pointed at her head. So a customer who has a gun sees this and is put out as his hero because he drew down on the suspect and shot him five times. But you have to understand, first of all, the gun was at her head. Every officer would tell you this. You don't shoot somebody. It's only in the movies, ma'am. You don't shoot somebody, a suspect who has a gun pointed at somebody's head, because just the twitch in their muscles could pull the trigger. And not only would you have killed that man that held the gun, but you would have killed the clerk that you claimed that you're actually trying to save. You got the hero complex. You got the hero complex, and we have to understand this. Listen, just because we have the right to bear arms don't mean we have the intelligence to bear them. We have to get smarter. We're not any smarter because we've got a gun. We have an obligation now to understand how to use that, use it, when to pull it. And officers train at least in my experience, they train. I know that they came back from the jury for Roy Middleton. They said these officers hadn't been trained enough. And they said they went back 4 years, which is the current sheriff's administration, right? Hired up. And they said, you're going to have to train these guys. They're not trained. And but I went twice a year when I was an officer. And if you couldn't do this right, you had to get a desk job. You could not carry a gun. Because that kind of crazy stuff would happen, right? And so these are officers who are under that kind of scrutiny, and you have to realize you have to put yourself under that kind of scrutiny. You have to put yourself under that kind of scrutiny. It's so important because, especially if you're calling yourself a Christian, and you're walking around with a hero complex with a God, you're going to do more damage to the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that you may have to take somebody out because they're threatening your life or someone else's life. I'm not saying that's what officers do every day to protect people, and we call them heroes, and there are true heroes. But remember, heroes do die, too.
That's right.
But I am saying if you got a hero complex, then God's not your hero, and you're walking around trying to save the day when it's only Jesus that saves.
That's right.
And he loves the suspect, he loves the victim, and he loves everybody in that mall. And how you present the gospel to that whole situation, it could be not good, not well. So how do other people see you? If they saw Roy Middleton in his own driveway at night as a danger because he had a shiny object, which ended up being a little micro potential lighter his daughter gave him who just got back from Afghanistan for fighting for our country. Ugh. I mean, you can argue all you want to about this. You can argue all you want to. The question is, will you survive long enough to argue about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're probably going to kill you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the officers are trained to shoot to kill. They're not trained to wound you like your Western movie that you saw or some whatever crazy thing. They shoot to train. They're trained to shoot in the K5 area, which is the kill zone. All the K5 area of your body, they're trained on silhouettes to kill. And you're not the police. They're the police. They're the officers. And so you need to get to know them. They need to get to know you. You need to pray for them in authority. But understand, by you pulling a gun out in a crowd like that, what just happened in Alabama, in our nation, and it's happening in different areas now, you just look like a terrorist. You look like a suspect. Who in your own mind, you're a hero to everybody else. You're the robber.
They're coming to get you.
They're coming to get you.
Exactly. They're coming to get you.
And if the courts, if the local authorities told these officers they were justified in shooting an innocent citizen 15 times, and he had no gun.
Hello.
Do you think that people are going to cry? They're going to like, well, you know, he's a hero.
Right.
Lord rest his soul. They'll put a little dust over your casket. They'll say a little prayer, and it's over for you, man. You're actually instantly, you went straight from hero to throne room, like overnight.
Hero to zero.
And you get to find out, you know, was I truly saved? I'm about to find out if I was truly saved. So much for that.
Mm.
Officers are taught, and it was my experience on a continual basis how to use that gun. They're taught wisdom and knowledge. They're trained. There's huge expectations, at least there used to be, of officers, and there really is, and of soldiers. They think in and out and how to use it, how to clean it, how to understanding, you know, what it looks like when you're holding this gun, that it's very intimidating. You don't pull. And I was taught you'd never draw your gun unless you're going to use it, unless you have probable cause for a reason to. You don't just pull it out to motivate people to do things. That's a movie or something.
I need y'all to move over from here to there. Can y'all just...
Well, a lot of people think, you know, a lot of people think that you can pull it out to just motivate people. And now we have people that are coming into stores with the cowards that are coming in to steal your $20 from behind the counter that the taxes are so high right now. This one Asian store owner, he literally takes the gun out of a man's hand and beats the heck out of him with it. Because he was still a coward behind the gun. I mean, they can kill you. Cowards kill people all day long. But the whole thing is that, do you know who you're pointing that gun at?
Because
if they're not scared to die, you're in trouble. You know, because you're so terrified, you might not have a strength to pull the 7-pound trigger when they pull like an 80-pound board upside your head. It's crazy. And it's real. I mean, when people start, this is what kids say when they're in school with guns. I was scared. But you know what? The next day they came to school, they had a hero complex. You know why? Because they had a gun in their pocket. But you know what? They were still just as ignorant as they were the day before. They didn't get any smarter. So now you got a fearful, cowardice kid who's being intimidated by Alinsky's model in that school, by Lucifer's, you know, puppets. And he's so terrified, or she's so terrified. Now they're arming themselves. It's like, that's not going to be pretty. And by the way, they're gonna say you've lost your mind because you have the knife. They're not going to see what you're seeing. They're not going to see that. You're going to be the bad guy. So bringing that weapon to school is only going to put you in the felon list. It's going to keep you can't bear arms in America anymore. You can't vote anymore. And it's going to change your future because you're going to put felon down on every single app that you apply for a job. You know, talk to your pastor about it. Talk to a police officer about what's going on in your school and get wisdom. Don't get the hero complex. Mm-mm. For some reason, the next day when the kid shows up with a weapon, you know, all of a sudden they just feel more confident. But they're still just as fearful. But their confidence is in that trigger, in that bullet that will hurt some of those kids in that school. That's why you have this stuff going on in these schools with these mass murders and stuff. You know, one day the kid was beaten, being beat up on and talked down to, and the next day they come in with a shotgun and a rifle, and it's like, what happened was this big, okay, fine, now I have power.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, no, that was a hurt kid who had been emotionally beat up on, who the enemy took advantage of, that somehow weapons got in his hands, and now look what's happening to our kids in our schools. If we don't get this, we just keep saying, Second Amendment, roar! And having a gun does not mean that we're going to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom with and training with those guns may. But officers have wisdom. They're being trained. They're being expected to have wisdom. When to pull it, when not to pull it, what it looks like when you pull it. You know, why you pull it, when you shoot, when you don't shoot. Over and over again, they have visual stimulating exercises. And now they have all the visual things that kids do for fun. Officers do for life in regards to these particular games. Yeah, anyone can rob someone with a gun. I mean, anyone can do that. But legally possessed gun and constitutionally right to be able to have that gun, they still can choose to use it in a wrong way and take somebody's right from them, to rob them. Any coward can do that. And sometimes it's robbing people of their feeling of safety and security and peace. I mean, this is what I used to always say at trailer parks. Don't anybody get into a gunfight here.
Mm.
Because it's a thin wall. I mean, you could shoot one shot and it would go through four or five homes. And many people are killed by drive-by shootings when children and young people and adults with hero complexes just go start firing shots in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes destinies for families because that man or that girl, woman should not have had a gun. If you have a hero complex and now you have a gun, this is what's really going on. You're really a coward hiding behind a piece of steel whose confidence is in a small bullet that is supposed to fire when you pull the trigger. You can talk to any law enforcement officer. And they can tell you over a period of time, there's times when you pull the trigger and the thing doesn't go off.
Hmm.
But the officer's not totally reliant upon, they're not some hero, some are, I mean, they get fired or whatever, but they don't have this hero complex. They're there to be able to enforce the law and to help you and that type of thing. They're not thinking about hero, although that many of them are, they end up being heroes because of what they do. But they know that sometimes you can pull the trigger and it's not going to work. Sometimes the clip just doesn't work. Sometimes the round doesn't go off. But you know what? Sometimes it jams. Sometimes this stuff happens. Sometimes sand gets in there. A round just doesn't go off. But the officer is trained and knows what to do. But a person who's a coward, they don't even think about that reality. Their total concentration and hope is in the fact that if anybody hurts me, I'm going to pull this trigger. And the truth is that most people don't have the guts to be able to pull it out. If they do, they're shaking so much they can't hit the target. I mean, you know, I mean, that kind of, you know, it just doesn't work out the way that your mind thinks it's going to work out. And listen to me, that person that you're pulling that gun on may take that gun from you and beat you with the butt. They may beat you with the butt. I'm just telling you, I'm not threatening. I'm just saying what I've seen as an officer and seen in life. Or if they're evil, they may actually use it on you. And I want you to remember, the Constitution is for all citizens of the United States. So if you choose to exercise your constitutional right, the Second Amendment, to bear arms, to own arms, to protect yourself, remember to protect the fellow citizens of America who have the right to live without fear of you doing harm to them.
Right.
How would you do that? Gain wisdom on how to handle your gun. Get trained. Don't just get trained enough to get your little license. Find out actually how to use that thing, how to pull it, when to pull it. Understanding, heroes die too. Get wisdom on how to use that thing if you're going to carry it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He mm-hmm. loves deception. Mm-hmm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because mm-hmm. they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm-hmm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, yes, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome on, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. I want to add this one thing to understand about this hero complex, the Second Amendment worshipers out there, and I'm all for Second Amendment. But if I had to trade between the first and the second, I would definitely have the first over the second.
No doubt.
But the truth is that understanding the second allows us to have the first if we use the second with wisdom. So as I'm saying in regards to this, so you imagine that person who got all this courage now, going to the mall this Christmas, and just treating people like junk, parking any way they want to park, acting like there's some wild stallion now because they got some piece of metal in their pocket. And this is what happens. They actually have a study that says that people have a false sense of security. Their confidence level goes up strictly because they have the ability now to fire a weapon. And it's like, remember, if you were highly intelligent before you got the gun, you're still highly intelligent. If you were ignorant before you got the gun, the next day you got it, you're still ignorant.
Now you're just dangerous.
You've got a weapon, right? And so you got to get wisdom, get knowledge, and you can be trained. There's classes all over America how to get trained to be able to do that. So here you are. You're Mr. Hero. You know, you're Mrs. Hero, and you've got this false sense of, and you're Christmas shopping. And we're seeing all these shootings take place at these malls, right? And you think about that. These malls are packed. Three-story malls just in Jersey up there. They were just shooting just recently in over in Jersey. And thank God nobody was hit or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you're walking through thinking, if that ever happens, because I watched CNN last night. I watched Anderson Cooper last night. And mm-hmm. I am convinced this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the hero. And you're so centered on you. You're so focused on you, you don't even realize there's really other folks. You think there's just you, and this future bad guy is going to pop up. But you don't realize there's a whole bunch of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of people right now in America who have the hero complex, who ran out and bought guns, who are seeing these newscasts, who are visualizing how they're going to just save the day. And so here you are in that mall. Not seeking, you didn't seek wisdom. You didn't learn how, get the wisdom on how to do things. You didn't understand that the police officers are trained for this. That's how they can do what they're doing. And some need more training, according mm-hmm. to down in Florida. And some guy pulls out some weapon inside of the mall. And instantly you're thinking, man, this is just like Anderson Cooper showed me on the news last night. And so here you go. You hide yourself behind a pole or something. You're going to reach down in your whatever you got something. And you pull that piece of steel out that you've had you worshipped and mm-hmm. thought it was going to save the day. And then when you look back to where you saw the suspect, now you see 30 men
mm-hmm.
hiding behind 30 poles.
Doing the same thing.
Who pulled out 30 guns. And a crowd of 300 people in a three-story mall. You know why? Because you weren't the only fool around. They're thinking they were, you know what? Now you don't even know. Now you're finding out. Now you don't even know.
You don't know who the bad guy is.
And by the way, you look just as bad as they do because somebody said, shooter's in the house. Shooter's in the house. And guess what you have in your hand? Your God.
Mm.
You have your gun that you've been having all your faith and your confidence and your trust was in a gun. A gun, mind you. And now, 29 other men, and some women probably, don't know whether to shoot you or shoot each other. And so everybody starts shooting. And you lose your wife. You lose your kids. Your neighbor loses a friend, a husband. A store clerk goes down. And you just had that big circle shoot that was going on that I talked about with the police officers circling around and nobody knowing who's hurt or who's the bad guy. Friendly fire is going down. And all of a sudden you have all these heroes, fools,
mm-hmm.
who didn't know what they were doing, who just brought more mayhem than any of these wild folks have done in the mob because the gun is not your savior, church. Jesus is the Savior.
Mm.
Guns can help you with using wisdom, but understand officers are trained for this. Every now and then there's a bad situation, but the majority of our officers and our military forces, my goodness, you know, these guys are trained for this day in and day out. What, horse, saddle, and something is what Steve told us, right? And hair.
Man.
Horse, saddle, and moose. But the thing is that picture that situation and realize you're making yourself part of the problem in America. You're not a hero. Heroes don't wake up one day and say, I'm a hero. Heroes just happen because they see that moment and they have wisdom on how to respond and they act. And wisdom says, you know, do not pull your gun out in a crowd. If you're not the police.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're passing a police officer and your hands are in the air, you let them know, I want you to know I have a gun, whatever, and I'm legally carrying it. Honor that police officer and let them know this is wisdom. This is somebody that's not afraid. This is not a fool with a piece of steel.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody that truly can help our country, and this is a citizen protecting the citizens. Just wanted to share that wisdom with you today. I think this is a conversation we all need to have, especially the church, because Jesus is our Savior.
That's right.
Guns are not. Speaking of authority, we're going to be talking about in the next program, you got to catch it, is praying for those in authority over you.
Mm.
My goodness. This is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, listen, this is good. This is how you have a peaceful life. This is pleasing to God to pray for those in authority over you. But we're going to talk about a broader span of understanding that. Because you can pray for a man all day long, but if you don't pray for his wife could be determining where everything happens in that family, and she needs just as much prayer as the husband needs. Mm. Or you can pray for those children in the household, but if you don't pray for their parents, you can pray for these parents in this household, but if you don't pray for their children could be used by the adversary to destroy the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding, hey, how to pray for the whole, this authority that God has given us authority. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about universities and how 81% of Christians going to public universities are renouncing their faith by the time they're done. 50% of Christians going to Christian universities are renouncing their faith in Jesus Christ when they're done. And staffs are determining what our congressmen actually see. I'm telling you, if we pray, God knows how to get a message to them. We'll be talking about that in our next program. You got to be with us.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't forget to join us and visit our sponsors today. Want to give a special shout out, go to VFNTV.com. And get all their information, websites, phone numbers. Also, Just Fish and Grits.
Fish and Grits!
And Pensacola. All you can eat. They'll make it for you.
Nothing's better than Fish and Grits.
Oh, come on now. Also,
cheese grits.
Also in Cordova Lanes. Listen, sign up the kids for the bowling league every
Stretch
Saturday.
Before you bowl.
Listen, no one's benched in bowling. Visit them at Cordova Lanes, Pensacola. I'm sorry about that. Also, Glenn Parker. You need a vehicle? He's your guy, Alan Turner Hyundai in Pensacola Car City. Listen, you get a car and a Bible when you go to Alan Turner.
Imagine buying a car from somebody you trust.
Come on now.
Alan, you can trust.
VFNTV.com.
I want to say a shout out to all of our sponsors and partners who are partnering with us. Make sure that you know that we are thankful and grateful. And if you want to partner with us, go to VFNTV.com and follow the promptings and partner.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, just may be on your heart or on your You wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.